Welcome to Piercing the Veil on BBSRadio.com, a show for truth seekers and rebels. Join us every week as we obliterate willful ignorance, corruption, globalist agendas, and more. Tune in every Sunday at 5 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Pacific, and listen carefully as we provide crucial solutions, information awareness, and unique life hacks to improve our planet. Pierce the veil, and the truth will reveal itself.
All right, welcome back, guys. This is Jordan, your host for Piercing the Veil, another episode live of Piercing the Veil. Today is January 22nd, 2017. That intro gets me every time. It's our new intro we're trying out. I think we're going to keep it because I like it. It's super dramatic, but also gets to the point. And by the way, that was Corey doing our voiceover there. Corey will not be attending today. He's actually pretty busy, so we're just going to let him catch up on some business, and I will rock this show solo. Well, hopefully not solo. What we're doing is dedicating this show to our listeners, listener appreciation. Basically, if you have any life issues that's coming up for you, if you just want to ask a question, you have a comment, just want to shoot the breeze with me for a bit. We'll make time for everybody that comes in order. And if nobody shows up, you know, that does happen from time to time. I'm prepared with some backup topics that I'd like to speak about today. And so what we'll just do is just give the number for everybody to call in. That's 888-429-5471. Station 2 is the selection you should make. And basically, let me just do a recap of the year. Our first show was with Cliff Hill, who's a very, very highly respected friend of mine, a high-level advisor in multiple world governments. He spoke a little bit about his experiences in writing a book that was basically just describing his work and what he was doing, and also touched on a few no-no topics like chemtrails and things like that. So he was harassed by intelligence agencies, and it made its way into his family court case. So we went over that a little bit. And then the last week's episode on January 15th, last Sunday, Corey and I just did a Back to Basics show where we discussed a little bit about contracting. We had intended to mention a little bit about visualization versus manifestation, those types of things. Never really got the chance to get into that. We only have an hour here on the show, so it is pretty limited. But since it's just going to be me and you today, if we do have time, then I'll just go ahead and jump right into life goals and goal setting, manifesting, stuff like that. Okay, so once again, don't be shy. If you do want to call in, the number is 888-429-5471, Station 2. You can literally ask me or talk about anything. There's no censorship on this show. That's really the whole point of what we've been doing this whole past year. So for those of you that are just joining us, if you are, we started the show last January 2016. One of the very basic first shows that we did was about contracting, the nature of the universe, how to make negotiations with entities out of the body or with substances or matters or any type of object. We talked about how everything is, for the most part, a pervasive consciousness. Everything is touching and intermeshed with consciousness, including what you would call non-intelligent objects, or like a piece of wood or a desk or a chair or, you know, your cell phone or something like that. All of these still possess a consciousness. So that was our first episode last year. Then after that, we got a little bit into spirituality, psychedelics. We touched on sexuality and relationships. We also touched on a few other things regarding space travel, space disclosures, aliens, life on other planets, the nature of death. That's something I'm pretty familiar with. For those of you guys that don't know, I've had a near-death experience for pretty much every single year of my life, including my birth, up until about 30 years old. So last year, October 7th, I turned 30. Right before then, everything abruptly stopped. I haven't had any incidents since then, and I don't expect to. Sort of like I've accepted my mission fully, if you will. I've always known what I'm here to do, but those death experiences were my outs or my negotiated ways to get the hell off this prison planet, basically. We talk a little bit about what happens after you die. Typically, the experience will be, for most people, it will be very jarring, very core. It'll shake them to their core of who they are as a person. If somebody carries with them some type of religious beliefs or something like that, that will really substantially affect their ability to release the karma that they've accrued in that life. Yes, karma is a very real thing. It doesn't operate the way people think, though. And it's always able to be let go or released at any moment, even inside the body. So some people are going to have a hard time. But basically, the soul is connected to a plasma essence, which is who you are. It's your spark, your essence of the soul. So the soul is like a container for the essence of the source or the part or individual piece of the whole of God or the source or whatever you want to call it. And human beings and the soul containers of human beings across the universe, not just on this planet, are extremely powerful. They're right up there with the Creator and other high-level beings. Now, it doesn't seem like that with some of the shitty stuff that you experience on this planet, but that's for a reason. There's a lot of negative social engineering and power structures that have been in this region of our galaxy for a long time. If you would imagine the universe, and there's many universes and many dimensions, but the universe which we physically occupy as an octopus, okay, and all of the arms are healthy except for one. The rest of the arms at any given time during, and time is relative, but any given time during its existence, those other arms have been relatively healthy. And just one of those arms, which are the Milky Way galaxy and our solar system and our universe, part of the universe and our planetary stuff, that just happens to sit in that one arm. And one of those arms is very damaged. It's not healed. It's been just pecked at and completely destroyed and rotted by galactic wars and things like that. And the negative groups like the Chimera groups, which run and give orders to the Archons, which run some of the negative physical beings like the Reptilians and most of the Greys and stuff like that. There are some positive factions of Reptilians and things, but most of those take their orders from the Archons, which take their orders from high-level ascended beings called the Chimera group. And there's some stuff that's being done about it. It's been done about it for 20 years in the background, this resistance movement or group of high-level ascended beings that are what you would call light forces. They've been working consistently towards an event, which is a huge shift in consciousness for our solar region, where it will completely obliterate, destroy, and shift out all this negative crap that's still here, that's mainly connected to plasma, okay? So that's literally the state of our universe. Okay. Now, when you think about what happens, I'll get back to my original topic. When you think about what happens when you die, you start to go through a tunnel, and most people will see a white light, and then Jesus will appear, or whatever deity they believe in, or their family members will show up and say, "Come with me, my son," and then you get put into this reincarnation software module where these Archons will, for the most part, and relatively easily, predict and choose what model or what life circumstances or parents you'll have or region of the planet that you grow up in, and just according on what they want to use your energy for, right? And you have control of this to a certain degree after a certain level of consciousness that you've arisen in. But basically, this is a prison planet, and they're trying to keep harvesting souls instead of letting them move on and pass on to reincarnate to other planets and other experiences and other lifetimes and other shapes and other forms, or maybe going back to the source. Things like that. Instead of that, there's this machine, this reincarnation machine, and the falsities of karma, as you know it, are partly stemming from that. And there's a lot of negative entities that are controlling that. So we'll get back into that if we can, if we have time, in another show or maybe in this show. But right now we do have a caller on the line. I think I actually know this caller. His name's Apollo, one of my good buddies, I believe. Apollo, welcome to the show. How can we help you?
Hello, brother. It's good to hear from you again.
Likewise. How are you doing today?
Right on. I'm doing great. How about you?
Doing well. Where in our fine nation are you traveling currently?
Well, actually, I'm residing at my headquarters for now. It's near Ridgeway, Colorado.
Excellent. Excellent, man. So what have you been up to besides just continuing your permaculture studies? If you could just tell our listeners what you're into, what you're about, maybe ask a question, give us a comment, whatever you want to do. You're free to do whatever.
Well, right on. Thank you. I do have a question in mind, but I guess I'll introduce myself.
Sure.
I am an ambassador for Green Fire Eco Ministries. We are a non-denominational church under the Universal of Life Church that focuses on deep ecology and earth stewardship and eco-village development. And so I play the ambassador role and I travel to eco-villages so I can basically, what our motto is connect the resources to the resourceful. And so by doing that, I'll collect resources and deliver resources myself, gather media, blog, build relationships. And then, so right now I'm currently almost about to head on out on my West Coast of the United States tour.
Nice.
And yeah, so I'll be doing
where
that.
Where have you been
year.
So far?
Where have I been? I've done a small East Coast tour. I went to the farm in Tennessee this past May, I believe, and I got to stay there for 8 weeks. I got to just explore the Eco Village Training Center, which is located in the farm, which is the oldest intentional community in the United States. And it was a wonderful experience to see this long-term community in everything they do, and especially the ETC, which was a sustainable infrastructure that sets precedence on a lot of things. So it was beautiful. And then after that, I got to travel to Asheville, North Carolina, where I got to visit Earth Haven Eco Village and also visit a lot of sustainable development within the urban metroplex. And that was a wonderful experience. I love Asheville. Asheville's a wonderful city. I really appreciate it. And then after that, I had to cut the trip short and come back to headquarters to deliver my assistance on whatever was needed. And that's where I am now, and I'm about to take on out to my West Coast tour.
Well, excellent, brother. You're doing a lot of important work, and quickly, too. You've been super busy in the past couple months. I would say this for our listeners and for you, just whatever you take from this. When you first were talking about being an ambassador and going to all these places, I visualized, and that's part of our show today also, but I visualized a thread with a needle on it with a bunch of goods or packages and pretty bows hanging off of it, and then a map of the United States, and I just see you as the needle just running around threading all of these communities together and dropping off stuff and picking it up and taking it to the next one and then coming back and starting the loop all over again. So.
That's a wonderful visualization.
Excellent. So, yeah, how can we help you today? What's your question? I mean, you're pretty competent and smart, and I know your levels of understanding. So, I mean, we can pretty much talk about whatever you want.
Right on. That's beautiful. I'm glad to hear it. I had a question. I wanted to ask your opinion and your standpoint on Qigong, but also incorporating deep ecology and integrating Qigong and energy work and Qi work with plant life and plant energy and other living organisms, their energy work, and how we can integrate and interface with each other on those energy systems. How do you feel on that subject?
Well, it's interesting that you say that, and you've actually sparked a huge idea. Again, for some reason, I'm just getting pictures in my brain today. When you talk about integrating the Qigong into the energy work and gathering and collecting energy from the atmosphere and channeling it through your body and balancing the different organs and kidney functions and the different colors and the shape of your aura and all these different things that are done when you use Tai Chi or Qigong or yoga or whatever, meditation. But when you talked about that, I got another picture, and this picture is an idea and possibly an invention. There's things called earthing shoes or earthing mats, right? And a low-cost option would be for people to go out in the plants with their earthing shoes on, which are basically copper tacks and copper laces, so your feet are connected by copper, by a conductor, to the earth, right? They also have material that you can lay out on the ground and touch bare earth, it's like a fabric material. And if you had some sort of meditation space or a workout space or Qigong instructional area where every single person was standing with their bare feet on that, and that was going into the soil, and if they held an intent to use that mechanism to send the energy to the plants, and then maybe even make an agreement with the minerals and crystals in the ground, because the minerals, crystals, and fungi are what connect the plant together, and that's how the plants communicate and how the human body communicates.
Absolutely.
As well. So I would actually suggest that some sort of conductivity of the feet and then multiple feet on the ground near the plants would accomplish what you're trying to do in a very real, tangible, electrically measurable way.
Wonderful. That sounds quite plausible and makes sense.
Yeah. So either conductivity shoes for the people on the farm, and wherever you go, spread that idea that when you go out there and you're going to be in the ground working in the soil anyways, yes, your energy to a certain extent is conducted, but with the copper, it accelerates. And so even if you're barefoot on the ground, if you have copper grounding shoes, then we would have to do tests. But I'm pretty sure that the copper would accelerate the flow of ions from your feet to the ground and not the other way, right? So that's a simple solution. That's a super cool question, bro. And then we're really big into Qigong. Let's just talk about Qigong and Neigong. Qigong is sort of like an outer of the body, encompasses some inner parts, but it's like an outer part of the body exercise of moving your energy around. And it also has blood flow and physical components to it because the blood is the source of the qi, right? So the Neigong is more of an internalizing and storage and long-term, how to store it properly, how to express it properly, how to build the channels to express, because qi saturates your body, but there's certain channels where it can saturate more. Sort of like if you have bigger muscles, you can lift bigger or heavier items easier with less restraint or effort. Well, in the same manner, and without the physical size, you can do that with qi the more you practice. And so actually storing the fire qi in your tailbone, making sure that your organ, like rubbing your face and keeping your eyebrows really high and open, because the facial expressions and the stretching of the face is connected to your fire qi that runs down your back to your tailbone. Also, your dantians, we know about this because I still got to find damn video, Apollo. And send it to you. But so the water in the front, in the belly, and then you have the air in the chest area. So those, and then the brain is sort of like the spirit. The brain encompasses the mind, and the mind is connected to the soul and the unconscious and the power that's behind that. So by utilizing the neurological power or the spirit power with the water power that's stored in the guts and the flesh and the cells down here in the bottom, what would we call it, navel region, and then utilizing that in conjunction with proper breathing techniques with the air. And that's pretty much a generalization of what all of these different styles of Qigong is trying to accomplish. And so I'll step off my Qigong soapbox and let you give the listeners sort of your input on that, because you're a big researcher and practitioner as well.
Wonderful, man. Yeah, that was explained quite well. I'm more of a simplist. I believe the air, and definitely what you said was completely on point. But my perception is just like the air is energy, the breath is energy, and the blood flow, like you said, it carries that energy, and which with each breath comes that energy. And once you use your visualization, you're able to channel these breaths and these energies into anywhere to heal anything or to manipulate or do anything that you might want. And it is a beautiful thing that we all have as living things. And that's why I asked that question, because I know other living things have these energy systems. And I know, just like that movie, The Avatar by James Cameron, we are able to tap into the living ecosystems in the natural environment. I believe we can integrate for sure.
You truly are a force of nature and for nature, brother. I really appreciate you. We have another caller on the line. And is there anything else that you wanted to plug? Anything that you're doing with the Green Fire Ministries? Anything that you want to leave, like a link where people can get in touch with you?
Follow my Steemit, www.steemit.com/Apollo Mission. That'd be a beautiful way. GreenFireEcoMinistries.org. That's an awesome site that we are also a part of. And just follow me, and thank you so much for having me along. And I wish you the best of luck, Jordan, my brother.
Likewise, man. Please call in whenever you want. Any show is actually available to callers, especially my close friends. So if you ever want to make a comment or anything like that, just hit me up on Facebook and we'll go from there.
Yes, sir. Man, you have a wonderful rest of your day.
Will do. I appreciate it, Paulo. Stay easy out there in Colorado. Bye.
Yes, sir. Bye.
Okay, cool. All right, so we've got another caller on the line. This is, I believe I know you two from a couple of jam and drum circles, and you're appropriately named, I should say. Jam Freely, come on board.
How's it going?
Hey, Jam, how are you doing, man?
Man, all right, dude. I just wanted to check in and listen into your talk show, man.
Well, I appreciate that. This is your first time calling, yeah?
Yes, definitely.
Excellent. Why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about what you do, what you've been through, maybe a little bit about that post I saw earlier on Facebook, bro. You're looking pretty ripped there, Mr. Bodybuilder.
Yeah, you know, that was like something I was able to experience in like the earlier part of my life, I would say. I'm 56, so I was in my 20s, and I committed to athletes, and it was well for me. I actually did well with it and was able to make some money because of it and pursue something that I love. But the steroid thing kind of took me away from it because I couldn't handle it.
Excellent. Well, we got a lot of wind noise coming in on your line. I just want to ask, do you have a question or anything or a comment you want to drop on the line? Because we have other callers that just stacked up behind you, but I do want to give you time to converse with me a little bit. What exactly is your question or your comment?
I just wanted to call in on the radio show and listen in.
Oh, dude, well, yeah, that's perfectly okay. What about circular breathing, man? Did you see our friend Whitney was trying? She's right on the threshold of getting circular breathing on the didgeridoo. Did you see that post?
No, I didn't. Actually, I guess, you know, due to the weather change and stuff, I have had a lot of sinus issues, so I've like not really pursued it as much as I like, and a little discouraged because I wasn't getting the circular breathing down, no matter how somebody tried to, you know, show me how to circular breathe. As a matter of fact, I saw a guy on a football game today playing a saxophone, and I was watching him circular breathe during the national anthem. It was kind of cool, but anyway.
Well, that's cool, because most saxophone players, to my understanding, they breathe through their mouth, and they don't circular breathe. They actually take air through the sides of their mouth, they open their armature, and then close it back up again, using their teeth as a guide to stay on. But that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. If you're mouth muscles, if you're even after months of practicing, sometimes if you haven't been concentrating on the right areas, if your lip vibration and the shape of your vibration of your lips, if it changes even in the slightest while you're trying to do your cheeks and your breathing and such, you could be doing everything else right that you've been studying so hard, and it will still not come out, and so you'll just like start over thinking you messed up. But if you had kept the vibration of the lips in the hole just proper, right, and kept sustain the vibration as you're trying to do your inhale, it will work for you. And in fact, if I'm going to get to the next caller here in a second, but if you want to meet up on next Friday, there's a Stress to Peace event, Hallie Sunshine, I forget her last name, but you can maybe get with Ryan Taylor or somebody, and or myself on Facebook, and I can share that event with you. I know you got quite a drive. It's in Garland, but show up there. Bring your didgeridoos, and I think I can get you over the edge to actual circular breathing.
Right on. That sounds cool.
Hey, thank you very much. I know you've been trying to listen to the show for a while. I want to say I appreciate it. And thank you for actually calling in. It means a lot to me. I do this for a reason,
to
try to spread information.
I appreciate it, brother.
You're welcome, Jam. Have a great day. Stay warm out there.
You too.
Oh, also, put your tongue to the top or roof of your mouth. It don't have to press hard. Keep your mouth closed, and then press with your finger in the center of your eyebrows. So right above your nose ridge, right in the center of your forehead. Press that for about 20 seconds. It will clear out your noses and your nasal passage.
Right on.
Cool?
Dude, thank you.
No
problem. Thank you very much.
Have a good day. Have a good day, brother. All right. Next up, I think we have Sutton, who's been waiting patiently on the line. Sutton, come on board, brother. I appreciate you calling
hey.
In.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on here.
You're very welcome. You got a comment or a question, or just want to call in and shoot the breeze? What do you want to do today?
I recently just went to court for a weed charge that I got charged back with in February, like 2 years ago.
Okay.
And they gave me 12 more months of probation. I was already on a pretrial diversion, and I got kicked off of it because I got arrested again. But
okay.
I don't know. I feel like 12 more months, they didn't give me credit for any of the shit that I already did. And I was just thinking if there was something you think that I could try and negotiate.
And I can't represent you as a lawyer, but I can give you really, really, really good advice based on my own personal experience. It is possible to handle these things in unconventional ways. And this is what I would say you need to do. You need to make a decision, number one. Do I want to try to negotiate for a lesser probation and stay on probation and keep paying fees and all that shit? Which is shitty, right?
Right.
Or is there some way I can and again, this next option is shitty for most people, but I tell you what, if you can do it, it'll be easier for you. Or if you think you can arrange somehow for somebody to cover your shifts for the next month, and you can say something like, hey, my family died, I'm going to the funeral in Europe, in Britain, it's my grandma, the matriarch of the family, whatever. Sometimes lies have to be used. I mean, if you think the truth is going to destroy your life completely, right? And you just got to make your own best decision on that. But if you can get that stuff covered for a month, what you can do is talk to some of your closest family and friends and see if they'll be willing to write up an affidavit for you of good character. Say, hey, look, this guy, how old are you, Sutton? 23, 22, 21?
I'm about to be 20.
20, okay. This guy's just coming of age. Kids will be kids. He's really trying to work hard, change his life. I mean, even if this isn't your goals, if you want to smoke weed for the rest of your fucking life, who cares? That's your prerogative, right? That's your right to put that into your body. But sometimes you got to have the appearance of nicety. So if you can get some of these people to write up an affidavit that you intend, at the very least, to do all this stuff, and Sutton's, you know, responsible person, he's a good character, he's a contribution to the community, he does this, this, or that, whatever. And then, you know, I can help you with this type of stuff too. And then if you just write up a notice to the prosecutor, whatever county district attorney or whoever was handling the case, right? And you'll copy or CC the judge and the clerk. And it's basically a letter of forgiveness. Hey, look, without admitting any guilt, please forgive me for all the mishaps and things that have happened with the matter, such and such, whatever case number that is, right? Here's what I'm proposing. I don't want to waste any more of the county's administration time. I don't want to waste the public, the time of the public, or, you know, taxpayer expense or any of that crap. I can arrange to reschedule my work, and I would like to just come and serve a total period of, let's say, what, 30 days to 60 days on work weekend warrior week release or work release. What that means is, it's shitty. You go to work through Monday through Friday, and then you go to jail on Saturday and Sunday in a very tiny minimum security, books all over the place, playing checkers, fucking jail, right? And it might be scary to you, Sutton, to think about that. But here's the thing. If you fuck up on your probation and they take you without you having made any arrangements whatsoever, how shitty is that going to be?
Exactly. That's very true.
Right? And you know what else happens if you fuck up on probation again? They throw the whole years at you. The whole maximum charge you can get, they'll put that on you.
Right. Okay. Yeah. No,
what were you looking at? 2-3 years? 6 months?
I don't know. I think that it said up to 6 months is like the max.
Up to 180 days for 2 ounces or less, some shit like that here in Texas.
Right.
Okay. So that's a lot of information to take in. You can play this back if you want to, or you can call me, or we can meet up, whatever, man. I'm here to help you. Of course, again, I can't represent you. I can just give you advice and suggest what you should do. What are your thoughts?
Okay.
What are your thoughts on the options and maybe?
I mean, that first proposal sounds a lot better. I'll definitely try to get with you and try to work up some kind of affidavit like you were mentioning.
Okay, so the first one about trying to reduce the probation or actually trying to work out some sort of 2 day a week, I come in until this shit's served type stuff.
The affidavit sounds good, but I don't know, because with my other arrests, they might take that into consideration as well.
That's right. You never know. You never know. One of these guys that I helped before was you could call him a career criminal, burglary and all sorts of other crazy shit, but he was trying to turn his life around and came to the Eco Village and was working on the farm and learning valuable life skills, and everybody liked him, and he was helping out and chopping wood and all that stuff. And we did a letter of good character, and he was facing 10 years. He was facing felony charges, Sutton. You know what they did?
Okay.
They reduced everything to misdemeanors. They checked the box on one of the offers we had given them. We gave them a three-part offer. We're like, we'll come in and he'll turn himself in and come in and do, and he actually went to jail the whole time. He wasn't doing the weekend shit. He'll come in for, 60 days, or the second option was 90 days, and the third option was like 120 days. And I think it, like, as the days went up, his court fees went down as well, and he got trustee status, which is 2-for-1. And you know what they did? They checkmarked it, they signed it, and they sent it back to him. And he walked his happy ass in there, and for a 10-year charge, he spent 65 days in the county jail, trustee status.
Wow.
Walked out a free man. So just consider the power that they have over you with the probation. And also consider that they know that if you're 12 months probation, that's 12 months of solid either payments and cost and fees for drug testing, revocation costs. They could start you all over again. And it's a guaranteed conviction to them. So it is not something they're likely to give up or modify or negotiate. If they can get this out of their caseload and take on another case and get more money from that person, or, you know, get a higher charge on somebody else, they'll negotiate on your misdemeanor case if you want to come in, you know, for 5 months every weekend until it's gone, right? I just want to make it clear to you that the amount of energy that they would bleed from you over whatever years on probation is about 100,000 times more than your actual physical time in jail. Yes, the physical time in jail fucking sucks, but it's not as shitty as real jail and being there and you can't leave, right?
Right.
So, any other questions or anything that you wanted to follow up on or anything else?
No, really, I think that answered a lot of my questions. Thank you.
No problem, man. Yeah, just follow up with me after the show or whenever you want on Facebook. Just get in touch with me. I'll be at the Stress to Peace event next Friday.
Okay, I'll try to make it out there.
Cool. Yeah, any way you can, we'll work it out. I appreciate you calling, man. Thank you very much. I really do.
All right, thank you.
Yep, have a good day. Okay, let's go ahead and jump to a commercial break here. When we come back, we'll take some more callers. If there's no callers, then I'll just go back into the topic I was speaking about. And before we go to the commercial break, I'll just recap that real quick. I was just talking about what happens the moment that you die for most people, what avenues you can take, what to expect, how the universe works, where we are in our part of the universe, our little galaxy in the spiral arm of our universe. So the galaxy has spiral arms, and then as a fractal, the universe has spiral arms, and then dimensions have spiral arms and things like that. And they're all forming these toroid structures, if you will. And so I was discussing about different types of entities out of the body that have some effect or play some sort of role in trapping other souls, putting them back here on Earth, because we live in a shitty part of the galaxy or universe, in one of the last shitty strongholds, right? Okay, so that was what we went over before we got our first callers, and I'll go back into some of that stuff. Maybe we can jump into manifestation, but right now let's jump to our first commercial break, and I'll see you when we get back.
Having trouble with harassing collection agencies? Creditors breathing down your neck? Feeling like you're drowning in debt? The Guild of Tactical Wordsmiths is here to help you now. GTAC is an ecclesiastical guild association of aggressive debt assassins who can eliminate your debts, free negative marks from your credit report, and get you compensated for unfair collection practices or emotional damages. They have a proven track record of success and sustainable results, which will have creditors and debt collectors shaking in their boots. This is not your typical credit repair or verification. GTAC uses proven techniques and negotiation tactics to completely eliminate your debt or conflict, remove negative marks from your credit reports, and in most cases, GTAC will retrieve compensation for you. Call for your free 15-minute consultation today at 214-290-3053.
All right, welcome back to Piercing the Veil. Today's Sunday, January 22nd. We're about halfway through our show. It's a listener appreciation and call-in show today. Again, the number is 888-429-5471. It's station 2. Just make sure you select that. That'll get you promptly in the queue and waiting online. And basically, we've had two callers today. I started the show off by discussing some universal topics, the nature of death and what happens after you leave the body, all that stuff. right before we went to commercial, I talked about that as well to recap. But we've had two callers. First one was my friend Apollo, and he talked about Qigong and interacting with nature and sustainable communities and making a circuit around the United States, connecting those people. And then we had my other friend Sutton, who called in and discussed some pending court matters that he's concerned about, and maybe some things or some, I guess, opportunities he can create for himself to try to move into a better space for negotiation. So that was nice. Thank both of them for calling in. And again, so 888-429-5471. If anybody else wants to call in, you can. But for right now, I'm going to move into a topic about manifestation and visualization. Excuse me. I think those two things are actually separate. So I'll talk about visualization first. Essentially, visualization is just creating a very strong picture in your head. So making something immaterial appear to be material. There's a very strong reason that people like movies and that they enjoy watching them is because anything visual is highly stimulative, and it stimulates the parts of the brains or the brain that actually creates. So not only is it receptive listening and taking in processing information, but it's also very creative as well. And there are humans on this planet that can create their own movies and see them clearly in their head. And so I would liken this skill sort of like to what musicians do, except that's auditory. So musicians can hear the beat that they're about to put on the drum or the didgeridoo or whatever they're playing. They can hear it in their head very clearly, right? And at the same time, they're counting 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. Well, in the same fashion, people that are really good at visualization are able to create this picture of what they want, or create this semblance or scene or feeling. It doesn't even have to be a picture. It could be sort of like a feeling. And they hold on to what it looks like. Something will show up, or colors will show up, and they hold on to what it looks like, and then they intend for that to happen, right? Well, now you cross over into the actual manifestation part. So you've got something you want to manifest. You can picture it clearly. Now, the intent and the holding on to it and the manifestation is a matter of consciousness. How awake you are will determine if you're ready for that type of manifestation, if you're ready for what you're visualizing. That's sort of like a universal safety valve, a blow-off valve to keep you from experiencing things and popping too quickly because you can't take it. So basically vibrational level of the consciousness will decide, for the most part, it's the deciding factor on how fast or how quickly or how the manner, I should say, of your manifestation, how it shows up to you. Okay, so you visualize first, sort of like the pregame phase, planning, identifying the details, right? Then the manifesting is actually putting that into, maybe grabbing onto the feeling that you had and putting that into action. So the manifestation can show in physical ways, right? You get up every morning and you touch a crystal and put your energy into that crystal. And then you can go about your day and completely forget that you wanted to manifest anything, and it's still happening for you, right? So using foreknowledge is a big part of manifestation. If you know that you got a habit to not follow through on what you intend or your goals that you set, maybe have something help you, right? Yeah, you can have another person help you, but if that's not an option, or if people aren't as reliable as you would like, which happens a lot, right? Then, or if you don't trust them, then you can trust an object. Objects hold, store, receive, and transmit consciousness. Okay? It happens. You ever wonder why a house has a poltergeist? It's not an actual entity for the most part. It's a residual energy that the house has taken on that is expressing itself because of some sort of trigger. Maybe like a bad relationship between the mom and the daughter or something like that. Whatever the trigger is will trigger that energy to be released, okay? So it's sort of the same thing. Now, if you can trust an object to hold positive energy for you, then it can really accelerate your manifestation results and your levels of consciousness as well, right? I mean, crystals are used to store information. Just because you can't physically retrieve, I mean, you can. What's silicon, right? Silicon chips are physically transmitting and receiving bytes and bits and all of these things, and these ones and zeros and physical things. Just because you might not be able to see in your little raw uncut crystal that you have all the numbers or the ideas or the words that you're putting into it, doesn't mean it's not hearing you and making an agreement to participate. Okay? Yeah, they can make agreements. Things can make agreements with you. Gets a little crazy. Sounds a little crazy, but it's legiticus. Okay? Which is my word for legitimate. Anyways, Okay, so that's sort of like the pregame phase visualization, the putting into practice is manifestation. So when you're setting your life goals in the first part, you really want to have a clear picture and idea of what you want as a whole, not all the specifics, right? Grab that as a whole and then make a list afterwards of specifics that you really want in that whole picture of your visualization. And then that's how you can come up with ideas to actually physically or energetically manifest the particulars or the specifics or the terms of that goal or that original visualization that you had, that life goal that you had, whatever it was, right? Okay, so recap. Plan first using visualization, which is a technique, which is like seeing as clearly as you can in your mind, okay? And then manifest it, which is holding space and energy, right? Now, here's one thing about manifestation I want to say before I move on. There's something called the snapback effect, all right? What you're doing essentially every time you take a breath, if you're alive, if you're talking, if you're sleeping, whatever the fuck you are doing, at any given moment, you're constantly shifting realities. You're constantly moving through dimensions. And those dimensions might be similar to such a degree that you see the same people, you wake up in the same house, you have the same instincts, you have the same feelings, and blah, 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 whatever. But one of those tiny little instances or circumstances is different, right? And that might just be how you feel for the day, or it might just be where you go for the day, or whatever it is. But you're constantly creating. You got to let go of the idea that you're in the passenger seat. You're in the driver's seat. And if you don't know you're in the driver's seat with your hand over your eyes, you're going to hurt a lot of people and yourself, which is what's happening, right? So the more you create consciously and are aware of what you're doing and are grateful for that, then the more that you can develop the skill of manifestation and plowing through into another dimension. So the snapback effect, if you will, sort of like a rubber band, what you're doing is you're stretching yourself. You're stretching your soul container and you're bleeding through from one reality or one dimension to another dimension where your possibilities are based on and the change of or the difference between those two dimensions, I should say, and the range of possibilities you can have is exactly determined by your intent. So whatever you're intending as you're stretching and moving through with your goals, whatever your intent is what's going to show up or present itself in the other dimension. Now, here's the thing. Until you get all the way through and cement or concrete yourself in that other dimension, well, I'm gonna eat all vegetarian today, right? Until you've actually gone through the whole fucking day and vegetarian you are, you haven't eaten a single thing of meat or dairy or whatever, I guess that's vegan, but whatever it is, if you accomplish your goal successfully, you are now in that dimension, right? And there may be, depending on what that goal is or what that event is, there may be circumstances that will still pull you back at that point. But for the most part, if you get about 90% or more to your goal, just with the raw intent of, I have to make this happen, or I'm going to do this with willpower, then that is how you cement yourself in different dimensions without experiencing the snapback effect. Now, here's the snapback effect. You set a goal to eat vegetarian. Let's just do something small. And all you see is meat, right? All you see is fucking meat everywhere. There's no vegetarian options. It's not likely, but you can't find vegetables anywhere. Let's just say that, right? What do? Well, you don't fucking eat. You create your own out or your third-party exit from that situation. So now you're in a dimension where you haven't eaten meat for a day, which is actually closer to the dimension of you being vegetarian than you being a meat eater. So have you made progress? Yeah. There you go. Now, if you were to give up or get frustrated because everything in your reality is showing you the opposite of what you want, everybody gives up so quick because it's like, it's not possible. If you give up, well, then boom, you're back in the meat eater dimension. You got to fucking start all over again, you know, and take that for what you will. Maybe you like starting over. I don't fucking like starting over or wasting my goddamn time. I don't do it. Okay? So that's what's really important about that. So again, that was visualization, pre-planning, setting goals with intent, making a list of particulars to manifest, going into the manifestation stage, whether it's energetic meditation or just being aware of your intent or remembering your intent every day or every moment or every 5 minutes or whatever you got to do to keep that going, and then actually getting into the dimension or the shifted reality that you want, achieving your goal. I quit smoking, whatever it is, right? Once you can do that, just through sheer willpower and intent, you'll be a master of shifting your dimensions and manifesting abundance, whatever that might show up to you as: money, wealth, generational wealth, land, estate, connections, networking, fame, whatever, right? So that's literally, that's life right there. That's the only life lesson you need to learn besides the other one, which is sort of the same thing, which is you need to be on a certain level of awareness in order to manifest a smooth death transition, right? You need to be in a certain amount of control of how you exit this body, because if you're not in a certain amount of control of, even if it's just being prepared, if I'm prepared, I'm in control. If I get hit by a fucking bus tomorrow, I know what to do. Oh, there's the fucking plasma tunnel I need to go through. Oh, there's a fucking bright white light that's a fake Archon little software program that's going to kick me back into a body here on Earth, and I don't want that because that's not what I'm about, so maybe I should just go this way through the plasma tunnel. And if I make it all the way through, I can get to a little spot where I can shed some of my karma, assimilate and incorporate some of the things of my past life and my personality aspects that I developed, right? And then move myself upwards into, you know, the other soul regions and the higher dimensions where the ascended beings are, and central sun and the source and all these different types of fucking things, right? Let me do that instead. I don't want to get caught in this bullshit fake karmic loop. So those are two important things: knowing how to manifest while you're here in the life, and knowing how to manifest the circumstances or particulars of your death, and accepting your death. Accept it. You breathe every single day and you accept it. What if every time you breathe, it was painful? Some people have to do this. What if your entire life, every breath you took was painful? Would you really want to live? So it's all a perception. Okay, you really got to be grateful for these moments, and be intentional and don't waste them, and be the creator of the moment and not the passenger. That makes sense, right? Okay, we got a little bit of time left. I was going to do another commercial. I think we're going to skip that and just move into our other backup topic. Again, listeners, if you're still here and you want to, I know some of you guys just like to listen, but others, if you want to call in with a question or comment, we have a few minutes left. The number is 888-429-5471. Look at that. Manifestation right there. We have a caller. I think I know this caller as well. Daryl, welcome on board. How are you doing today, sir?
Doing well, sir. Good to hear your voice. Good to hear Paul's as well.
Yeah, man. It's been a long time. So what are you up to?
I miss him. Oh, gosh. Just came back from doing something rather unusual. I haven't done a show like this one in some time. Talk about...
If you could give our listeners a little recap of what you do. This is Daryl Sprout. He's been a guest on our show, reoccurring guest. What exactly do you do, Daryl, your shows?
Well, I'm the world's only stand-up comic snake handling magician. I'm an ambassador for things people are afraid of, primarily snakes, but I branch further than that. And I was literally working a boat show in Little Rock, Arkansas. It reminded me of a show I did some years ago. It was a hunting and fishing show in Tupelo, Mississippi, no less. And I'm like, okay, I'm here to represent the animals you should not shoot, and here's all the reasons why and that sort of thing. But this is pretty fascinating to actually, they kind of let me freeform it, and I did a lot of walk around and that sort of thing, letting people interact with an animal that they thought they couldn't even get close to. It's a good time not to have self-esteem problems, because, you know, every pretty lady looks at me and they all cringe. I really got to get a wearable camera, because some of the faces they make, I don't think women understand. When you go to that much trouble to make up that face, the cringe face you do when you see my snake is a lot more dramatic.
Yeah, so you've just been doing shows, branching outside of Texas. Do you have any particular question or comment, or you just want to shoot the breeze for a bit?
No, I'm not just shooting the breeze. I just say, you asked me what I've been up to. First of all, I was fascinated to hear about the Qigong part. I've been recently learning Yado, which is the Japanese way of the sword. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of very interesting things about the extending out of your chi and that sort of thing. Actually, it's a Japanese word, the ki, same difference, of course. And right. The difference between, for instance, a yin strike and a yang strike is an interesting thing, because they're both a blow, and they can both be devastating, but they are fundamentally different in very interesting ways.
Yeah, so, yang strike, to my understanding, and obviously it will be different and have lots of little variances in all the different styles, but a yang strike is an outward or external or masculine strike where it affects the actual bodily tissues, it affects the muscles, it disables the muscle or tendon or a joint or something. And a yin strike will disrupt or block the qi flow or the energy field of the opponent, and sometimes to their detriment and even death. You know, it's posited by most people, and I actually do believe this, that Bruce Lee was either assassinated through his cannabis supply because he smoked cannabis every single day. It was part of his training regimen, and they believe he was poisoned by doping his cannabis without his knowledge,
and
it caused him to have an aneurysm. Or they also believe that in one of his matches, one of the Chinese masters that accepted his challenge was upset that he was disclosing traditional secret techniques of those families that have been held secret for thousands of years. And, well, I should say in this matter, hundreds of years. But basically, they hit him with a dim mock, which is a death touch, and it is all consisting of yin strikes instead of yang strikes. And it does horrible things that have effects, you know, months, even years later. It can actually spontaneously develop a cancer in a targeted area of somebody's body 3 years later. Some of these things can. So,
You know, I think another death that we weren't told the truth about was David Carradine's, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That had all the makings of a professional hit that was made to look like a suicide. Uh-huh. And then also they shamed him.
Exactly.
Right? By adding the autoerotic element into it.
Mm-hmm. How bad can we make it look?
Yeah, exactly. Well, cool, man. Anything else that you wanted to sort of chat about before I close the show out? We got like 3 or 4 minutes left.
I love what you're doing with this. The whole you and I need to talk privately about one other issue, but you've been a really good source of advice on that front, and the whole empowering thing of actually having something to say as opposed to merely answering questions and saying yes, I understand, which means I stand under your authority. It's changed my world to understand, you know, to understand that, you know.
You play the question game before. You know what's up.
I have.
and for big stakes. For those of you that don't remember, Daryl actually got pulled over on the side of the road. He still has a few issues we're trying to work out. They're sort of testing him, I would imagine, right now. But we got him on the Do Not Detain list. The IRS sent you something back that said, we don't know what you're talking about. They do that to me from time to time, and I just send their stuff back and said, I think you do know what I'm talking about, and we'll just pretend that you do. And then I don't ever hear anything from them again.
For
years.
A little notice,
you know what I mean?
Yes.
But essentially, yes. You've had to defend yourself from actually going to jail. You're disabled. You're working your way up there in years for whatever that means. Obviously, you're a kid at heart. But it's pretty shitty for somebody of your age and condition to have to be trapped in one of the most nastiest torture chambers you can find, which is a U.S. prison or a county jail. So you've actually gotten yourself out of an encounter on the side of the road that was pretty much determined to put you in jail. Like, there was no other way out, and then all of a sudden, poof, right?
Yep. And so, they remember me, apparently, because I haven't heard from the locals at all.
Yeah, I think they won't give you a hard time as long as you just don't give them a reason to pull you over, don't speed, don't do anything like that. I can guarantee if a cop gets behind you and runs your license plate, they're going to see that status pop up. Whether they know to act on that or to not act on it, rather, whether they know, that's another story. So, like I said, be prepared, right?
Mm-hmm.
And get your stuff taken care of, that one thing that you still need to take care of. We'll talk about that later.
Agreed. Okay? Agreed.
Cool. All right. Thanks, Daryl. I appreciate you calling in. I really do. Thank you for that.
Great show, Jordan.
You guys make the show. I really appreciate it. Hopefully, we'll get some different listeners that will call in next week or whenever. But until then, have a great day. And what I'll do now is close out the show. I think next week we're going to have Frank Bacon back on the show. And then after that, we'll have either a musical guest or one of my good friends, Johnny Delirious. When Johnny Delirious has been on the show previous in the past year, he's talked about his abduction experience and his healing experience, his health protocol that he created based on the abduction information he learned. He's also got some life lessons that are really close and in parity. Parity means connection with or conjunction with. In parity with my beliefs and my goals. He calls them Johnny's takeaways. And just little short one-liners that basically condense all of my teachings into one short little line. When I say my teachings, the essence and substance of what I've been saying is literally condensed into one line by what he's doing. So he's a very talented individual. Frank Bacon also is a very, very happening guy. He's a hacktivist and information researcher and citizen press corps and things like that. So he's also real big in the blockchain. We've talked a lot about that technology. And I think with a few other connections that I've made recently, we're going to get back into speaking about blockchain and a brand new reporting platform just in time to see the fall and the rotting destruction of the mainstream media. We're here to rise up and tell the truth. So that's what I've been doing. I've been telling the truth, showing the truth, knowing the truth, feeling it, and living it on this radio show for the past year. And I really appreciate you guys listening. Okay. Corey should be back on next week, and we'll get rocking. And I think that's about it for today's show. We'll go ahead and call that a wrap. And until next time, pierce the veil, and the truth will reveal itself.